Lord. We're here today to see what God has to say to us from the Word of God by the Holy Spirit of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and we're looking unto Jesus, this new year that none of us has never lived before, that we need to look into Jesus Christ, not just for this new year, but look into Jesus Christ forevermore. Every one of us here this day, I hope that you're saved. If you're not saved, you can be saved before you leave this place. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to know the Savior that I'm talking about this morning. He's the reason of the season. We just celebrated Christmas, and Easter will be on the way just shortly. But this Jesus that I'm talking about this morning, you need to look unto Him. And when you look unto Him and you're saved, you enter into a race. It is the Christian race. Every one of us is here today and knows Him, are saved, enter into that race. He's always got a race for us. You cannot run my race for me, and I cannot run your race for you, and you can't run it for your wife, and your wife cannot run it for your husband, and you cannot run your race for your children and your grandchildren. They all have a race. Jesus Christ puts you in that race in salvation. And you're expected to run that race. And He gives us everything that we need to run the race. But in our Christian life, you know that there's a lot of things that keeps us from running the race as we feel like we should run the race, or God directs us and commands us to run the race. A lot of things that holds us back. And He tells us in these scriptures, verses 1 and 2, of get rid of these things that holds us back. We're not to look to our runner in the next race or the runner in the next lap. We're just looking to ourself and to Jesus Christ. As I said, He didn't call me to run Billy Graham's race. He didn't call me to run any other great preacher's race or a Christian's race. He called me to run my race. And I tell you this morning, He might not called you to preach the Word of God, but He called you to run a race. A lot of us cannot sing. He might have called you to run that race in singing, but He called you to run a race. Every one of us has a race to run. In chapter 11, we know is the great hall of faith. It's the great hall of fame of Old Testament saints have run their race. And there's used there for an illustration for us to look at. The hall of faith and how they was called for their faithfulness, but all of them looked unto Jesus. We find that Jesus Christ, He's the one that we're looked to. And this morning, I was saddened by a lot of things that I see in my life and I see in the Christian circle this day that we're not running the race as we should. If we's running this race as we should run this race, and we got a great crowd, a cloud of witnesses around about us, we'd have a better race to run. And our churches would be full and our lives would be changed. And there would be revival throughout our churches and our lands and our homes today, which they are not. There's never been a time, I do not believe, in the history that we live in our country that we need a revival as bad as we need a revival this time, the day that we're living in. And even in our church, this church, Pleasant Hill Church, and all churches in our area, in our community, and I tell you, in our families, in our home lives, and also in our personal life, we need a revival. And we need to run that race. And one of the reasons that we're not having revival, we're not running this race because we have so many weights that holds us back we need to get rid of to run this race. I would like to hear my Savior say to me, "Well done, thy good and faithful service, for running the race that I have chose for you." Would you like to hear that from your Savior? One of these days, you know you're going to face the Savior. One of these days you're going to give an account for every hour, every idle word, and everything that you've done in this life from time that you were saved to the time God called you out of this earth until you face to face with Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. You will not be judged for your sins, but you will be judged by your stewardship and how that you live this life that God has given you to live. And God has given us enough of power to live this life that we might give Jesus Christ the glory and we might run this race. Paul run his race. Paul said, "I'm now ready to be offered. My departure time is at hand. I fought a good fight and I've kept the faith. I've kept that race that I entered into. You see, what Paul had, every one of us had the same thing. Paul had the Spirit of God that lived within him. You say, well, he was a great, great man. I'm going to tell you what, he had a great God. And that great God, it says the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. That means that Jesus Christ in Paul's day was just as strong, just as mighty, and the same God he is today in this church called Pleasant Hill. And in every Christian that lives here this day, he's just as strong of God, just a mighty God, just as powerful God for you to run your race as Paul run his race. We do not do it on our own strength. That's what's wrong with me. I try to do so many things in my own strength. Whatever God commanded me to do to set me in my race, he gave me the power to do it. But I make excuses so many times from not having time, not doing this, not doing that, but all that's excuses. Looking to Jesus. Jesus Christ, as we look at these two verses of scriptures, and probably these two only verses of scriptures this morning, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with such great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which do so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for that song that they sung, Lord, that you are here. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the very presence of you here today. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your promise that you said you would be here today. Where two or more is gathered together, we in the midst of Jesus, you said that you would be there. And Father, we need your presence. Father, with your presence, there'll be revival. With your presence, there'll be life changed. And with your presence, there'll be great things done. Above and beyond what we expect or even can comprehend in the lives of the people. And Lord, and even this church and family members that represented here, Lord, a change. Father, our community a change. Our country a change with your presence. Father, so many times, Lord, we know that we have just about kicked you out of our country and, Father, out of our nation. Father, out of our government, out of our churches, and out of our homes today, and don't have time for you in our life because we have other gods we serve. Jesus, we pray today that we might be able to see, Lord, that we might need to get back in the race, and Lord, have our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, looking to Jesus Christ. And Father, Lord, all these other things, Lord, of this world, and all these other gods that grow dim in the sight of Jesus Christ. Father, how that we need your presence with us today. How great thou art. Father, we pray that you might do the work today. If they one here today has never accepted you, Father, if they never looked unto you for salvation, God, we pray the day will be the day that they enter that race of life. Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for the mercy, Lord, that you allowed us. Many times that we stumbled and we have failed, but Lord, you have lifted us up. Reach down with that right hand and pull us up, Father, and put us on that track again. And said, run that race. And Father, we want to thank you for the second, the third, and the fourth chance, and all these other times, Lord, that we have failed. God, we thank you here this day in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, God, that every word to be spoken here today, Lord, to be spoken with grace, seasoned with the love of God, by the hit our hearts today, and change our life for Jesus Christ, because he's the one that's worthy of our worship this day. And the blessing we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. It says, looking to Jesus Christ, and then it says the joy that was set before him, the joy was set before him. He endured the cross. Many times that I pondered over that statement, it said the joy that was set before Jesus Christ, that he endured the cross. Can you saw that picture? Most of us have the Passion of Christ, and that's just a small picture of what really happened to Jesus Christ, how he was abused, how he was beaten, spit on, pulled out his beard, drove those nails into his hands and his feet, how he thirsted, most cruel death that could ever be put upon mankind. And yet he says, the joy that was set before him, what joy was that? He said he endured the cross. He kept on because there was joy. I look here today and I see the joy that Jesus Christ was talking about. I look upon the 2,000 years that Jesus Christ went back to be with the Father after the cross, and I understand a little bit of the millions of people that's been saved, how he endured the cross and the joy. It says, you know, the joy in heaven of one lost sinner that comes to know Jesus Christ. The joy in heaven and joy of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, that joy that was set before him, he knew if he stayed on that cross, he knew if he kept on, you know what, one of these days that people here, that Pleasant Hill and their family members would have a way to go to heaven. Not only that, but their family members and their loved ones would go to heaven, a place that he had built for each and every one of us. That was a joy to be able to look into people's lives and see people, Lord, of old lost sinners, doomed and damned and on the way to hell like a poor me was. And there's no way to escape and no way that I could get out of my condition that I was a sinner. Sinner by nature, sinner by choice. And there's no way that I could get out of that relationship with that old devil, that he was my father, that I was doomed and on my way to hell. There's nothing that God wanted from me. There's nothing I had to give him. I could not repay back one sin that I'd ever sinned. But Jesus Christ endured the cross and the joy that he looked down 2,000 years ago and he saw an old plowboy like me. And he saw you in your lost conditions and your sin with no help and no hope for eternal security in Jesus Christ. And the joy he had as he sees that you was nothing, he made something out of you. The joy that Jesus Christ had endured the cross. Well, our generation that we're living today, for most parts, I'm telling you, I do not believe as I was studying this, I do not believe that our generation that I'm living in, the generation that we're living in our country, the United States, are not willing to leave this country better than our forefathers left it. This probably the generation coming up will probably be the only generation in many years in our country will not have it better than what we had it. It's going to go down because of the generation we're living today. I'm telling you, the government do not have the answer to the problem in our country. No man has the answer to the problem. Because I want to tell you, the problem's with the heart. It's a heart problem in our country. And this generation is not willing to make the sacrifice that my fathers, my forefathers, and on down the generation was willing to make, that the next generation, that this country called America, that their kids, their grandkids, their great-grandkids can have a better life. They have the freedom that they needed because they sacrificed. But this generation that we're living in today is not willing to sacrifice and live. They do not have the joy set before them. But I tell you, our grandfathers and all them down was ready for the joy. They would have this joy to do without, to see their family have something better. They ever tell you, this might not do me no good. I'm going to plant a fruit tree. I'm going to plant a pecan tree. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to buy this house. I'm going to buy this farm. I'm going to invest in this. Son, this might not never do me any good, but I tell you, it will help you. Oh, but not this generation. This generation is a mine, me, and self generation. I want it for myself. I'm not worried about the next generation. And I'm going to tell you, we have destroyed this great country that we're living in called the United States. Don't blame it on the Democrats. Don't blame it on Republicans. I'm going to tell you what, we need to blame it on the one it needs to be blamed on. It is the church, the Christian people today is not willing to run their race as Jesus Christ has called us to run the race today. I'm telling you, not leaving a better place. I'm going to tell you, our forefathers had the joy of hard work. Say it was joy, hard work in those times when they didn't have the tractors and equipments, and on down through the years, they didn't have the great technology, but it was hard work. But they was willing to work hard so their next generation, that their family would not have to have a wood stove and cut wood. They wouldn't have to worry about going to a tater bank. They wouldn't have to worry about cutting wood for a fireplace or an old wood heater, that they could just mash a button and also their house would be warm. They wouldn't have to worry about going to a pond. They wouldn't have to worry about pumping water. They wouldn't have to worry about pulling the water out of a well. All they'd have to do is turn on the spigot and they'd have water in their homes. They wanted it better for their kids than what they had it. They wanted to have it joy in their heart because they could see the future. If I sacrifice, that we may have it better than what my forefathers had it this day. I tell you, the joy of just keeping on and just passing it on. But our generation, I believe, has stopped. And they'll tell you as you watch the news, this the next generation is coming up. They will not have the privileges that we've had in our generation today because we have not sacrificed the sacrifice that we should sacrifice. We throw more things away. Most people that live throw more things away than what we used to live on. It's waste today. We spend more money on dog food than it took to feed many, many families across our nation. I'm telling you, a me generation and a my generation and a self generation this day. It's not helping your neighbors out. But when your neighbors used to be in problems and have troubles and difficulties, they was family members that left. And they were sacrificed to go to that family and help them whatever they needed today. But I tell you what, now they'll drive by and not even wave, no matter what type of problems you're having today, because it's a self-generation. They have no joy. Jesus Christ said, I'm the example. Jesus Christ said, you know what, the joy that I endured, are we willing to run the race? Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our race. Are we willing to run that race so other families can have it? I'm going to tell you, even in our church here today, I might be getting ahead of myself, but even in this church, even that old church, and the church before that, they were sacrifices made that you see the day that you and I can sit on these padded pews. They were sacrifices made that, you know what, we might come into an air-conditioned and a heated church this day. They were sacrifices made that we have the sound system and have the great pleasure that we have today. But are we any closer to God with all these conveniences as they was in that old church with a wooden heater? No, sirree, not on your life, because when they had revival, people stopped their work. They put up their horse and mules in the barn. They turned off their tractor and they come to church to worship Jesus Christ, and they had revival. But now with all our convenience, now with our automobiles and our air-conditioned house and our running water and all these great pleasures that we got today, you let us call for revival at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church and we'll see how many people is close to God. Preach it, preacher. Say amen. Are you running your race? This is not in my notes. Jesus is talking to you, and I'm telling you the joy. Self-generation. Getting into what Paul's talking about. Our generation has stopped this upward spin of getting closer and closer. Now you hardly ever hear about revivals. Now you hardly ever hear. We go through sometimes meetings and revivals, but we hardly ever have a revival. Meetings, all we have a good time, but meetings, revival, when people come and they cry out to God. We look this morning mighty pious this morning in our good clothes, but are we really here to serve and worship God? And our family members, as you think about in Paul's days, there was a lot of things also in Paul's days. Paul's using an illustration now of sports, the Olympic Games, in these verses of Scripture here. Sports had been a driving force in Paul's day. It's such a big driving force in our day now. We mind pleasure today. Drives people to spend more money in all type of sports and balls than anything else in our country, in our school system. I tell you, whenever I was going to school in the small grades, they didn't have to teach us to play. We come to school already knowing that. But now we have to spend billions of dollars across our land, and then when it gets up and more money across our land today. But on Paul's day, they had the same thing, but he used this now for an illustration. And there's nothing wrong with what Paul said. There's nothing wrong with sports, as long as it's in the right way. They had the Olympic Games. And they had all type of sports events and Olympic Games in Paul's days. There were the Olympic Games there where people come all over the known world. And then we find out the ones that run this great track meeting was where it was the major running factor, and a major game was that track meet in Paul's day. That's the reason to use this running a race. And we find, you see, if these athletes, they had great honor and fame and also money, and there was atmosphere of sports. Paul says, you know, in the Colosseums that day, you think our Colosseum is big now, holds a lot of people. They were 6 to 10 times bigger than our Colosseum today, where they can run chariot races around their Colosseums. Great Colosseums. Large. Paul used these games as an illustration for a spiritual truth for us, every one of our lives this day. I'd like for you to imagine now, as Paul begins to tell you about this race, I'd like for you to imagine now on the field now, where this great stadium is 6 to 10 times bigger than our Orange Bowl or our great Gator Bowl or all of our great stadiums today. As you mind now is looking down on the field, and there's one man down on that field. Now, he's been training. He's been working for years, weeks, and months. He's been discipling himself, and he has been on a straight diet. He had a great decision he had to make in his life. He can have to do without certain pleasures that other people can have, pleasure he could not have. Now, tens of thousands of people is looking down upon this man. Even the emperor there is looking down at Paul's days. Now, they're getting ready to run now as others begin to run. Now, this man goes over, as all of them does. They go over to the blood sacrifice that's been dressed for that occasion, and they wash their hands on that blood sacrifice. And they swear that they have kept the rules. They swear on that blood sacrifice that they are morally pure. They swear, you know, that they have not fixed the game. They are clean lives, and they're ready to run. You see, you run your race. You come through a sacrifice also that Jesus Christ died for you. And you run this game, you run the same way. You come to the sacrifice first. To get in this game, Jesus Christ puts you in it through his blood. As you run this race of life, Jesus Christ runs it and fall before you. Now, this man's mind now and all these athletes, their mind now is centered on one thing, and that is to win, to win, to win. Well, Paul uses this as an application of life to run. 10,000 times 10,000 speculators there are watching at this time. They're seeing what's really going to happen. They begin to watch, you see, in a great football game. They run this race of life. And your life this day, I will tell you, many, many people now is looking at your race that you're running. They're looking at your race, and do they really understand? Are you really a Christian? Are you really living what you claim that you're living? Do your own family know that you're serious about Jesus Christ and you're serious about winning? Your kids, whenever they move off and get off, they want to call back home, say, well, I want to talk to mom and daddy about a subject. Do they call you at 12:15 or 10:15 or 9:15 or whatever it is and get a hold of you? Or I say, well, we may not call on Sunday now because they're going to church. Or do that phone ring and then you answer it? Or are you at church where you should be? Same thing on Wednesday night. I wonder if I call them at 7 o'clock, am I going to reach them? Or that phone rings and rings and rings, well, I'm going to have to wait till they get out of church. I'm going to tell you, this is also a testimony. These are spectators, even our kids, to make the sacrifice that your mother and father has made. I tell you what you need to do once in a while. Each and every one of us needs to take a stroll through the family cemetery. You need to take a stroll through the family cemetery and get your mind, your heart set back on whenever mothers and fathers and grandfathers, and you know what, I've seen it my own self, whenever they was hardly able to make it down the aisle of a church to sit in a pew, they was there. We read off some name of our senior adults here on Wednesday night, and a lot of our senior adults cannot be here with us, but I want to tell you, they are here if they can. They are the backbone of the church because that generation sacrificed. That generation is running their race. And I'm going to tell you what, you are the spectators and you watching them. Look at your forefathers. Was they really active as they ought to be? And look at your forefathers. Some of them done gone to be with the Lord. And you here today because you was watching them. And they made a decision that they're going to serve Jesus Christ. They made a decision. I'm going to show my grandkids. I'm going to show my family. I'm going to show my sons and daughters. I'm going to show my family. It served to worship Jesus Christ. The one that saved me by his grace. The one that took me by the hand that's going to lead me to that promised land. I'm going to tell you, I'm serving Jesus Christ. Let us worship world go to hell, but I'm serving Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you what, they're the ones at the backbone today. But where is your sacrifice today? Do you have that same sacrifice today that you are willing to serve Jesus Christ and show your family that there's nothing more important than worshiping the Savior that saved my soul? The Bible says anybody that loves mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, wife, husband more than me is not worthy of to be my disciple. That means, you see, if you put Jesus Christ first, you'll always put your family first. You'll never neglect your family. You are the ones now down on the field. And I'm going to tell you, the world's watching you. Your kids are watching you. And your grandkids are watching you. And your neighbor's watching you. And they seeing if that car is leaving that house on Wednesday. And they see you morning on Sunday school. And they see there on Sunday morning and Sunday night. They just see if you're running your race. Oh, I'm going to tell you, the eyes of the grandstands are open and looking at us. You may not like this, but it is the truth. God, so help me, I'm preaching the Word of God. The spectators of life race. It says, therefore, that means all that's gone before. Seeing we also have compassed a great cloud of these witnesses. So let us lay every weight and the sin that do so easy beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. Us now, us today. This great cloud of witnesses. The grandstands are full along life way. It's talking about the saints of yesterday there in chapter 11. It's done gone on. But I tell you, it's also talking about the ones of our loved ones and families that's done gone on. People have already gone to heaven, and grandmothers and grandfathers that I've already talked about, and how they see if their children are serving the Lord. You see, they're cheering us on. You know, you can't see them. But wouldn't it be amazing if some of our grandparents, wouldn't it be amazing if some of our mothers and fathers and some of our grandparents been gone on to heaven for years, but I just wonder, some of you kids sitting here in my old yard, that your mothers and fathers are walking up and down these aisles right now, and they just are wondering, where's my son at? Where's my girl at? Where are they at today? I know I raised them to come to church. I would have been faithful to come to church. Well, where are they at? Where's my grandkids? Where's my daughter? Where are they at? And then they may say, well, I look at old grandma over there, and she ain't going to come. And my grandpa, he ain't going to come, so what good for me to come? Mother and daddies, they don't care about bringing them. They got other things to do. And you see, they are not running their race. And those witnesses looking at them. And that's one of the reasons that we have an empty church as we do. You really believe that, preacher? I believe the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. You see, our forefathers and these witnesses have already went before us. They had discipline. They had determination. And look at their lives. Look at their lives. Great cloud of witness. They encourage us. You know, I had an old grandmother. She was a different faith. They call it the hard shell or Primitive Baptist, whatever you want to call it. But I tell you what, they believed in Jesus. And they believed whenever that church house was a time that that congregation was to meet, if there was any possible way, far and wide, they was there. They come in mules and wagons. I've heard them say they crossed the branch in the rivers when they had to pull off their shoes and stand up on the seat of the wagon because it was floating cold water. And they'd break the ice of a morning to get out, hitch up those mules, to hook up that and get that baby. And they didn't have no heat, but they wrapped the family up in blankets. And they knew it was time to come because they want to hear something from God. And buddy, we sit here now with our pious face, and I'm going to tell you what, with our air conditioning, our heated cars and automobiles, and we can't drive 5 miles to church. We can't drive 5 miles to church. And we wondered why our country is in such a mess. We wonder why our homes are tearing apart. And we wonder why that we had such a problem that we're having in our country. I want to tell you why. God said, "Well, you forsake me, I'll forsake you." And there's no reason, the members, we got there, no reason in our community, this church, we ought to have chairs this morning. But I want you to listen to excuses. You can ask people. I see them all the time. And they have all type excuses. But there's one thing. If they love Jesus like they ought to love Jesus, they'd be here this morning if they saved. If they're lost, they don't love Jesus Christ. If they saved, they ought to be here. Great cloud of witness to encourage us along the way. You see, in Revelation, the Spirit and the Bride says, "Come. Come with us." You know why? That's why that's why the cloud of witness around us today. They said, "I want you to come to heaven. I want you to come to heaven." As I said, as our forefathers walked up and down these churches, this not this church, maybe this church too, but also the older church and the older church over there. I believe it was Curtis's grandmother, I'm not sure, that had bad knees. Am I correct? In that old church over there. But I know Miss Maul too. And they'd have to hold on from pew to pew. They didn't have all these fancy wheelchairs. They'd have to hold on from pew to pew to get down the aisle to get in to sit down. Then healthy people that could walk and run and jump. I'm going to tell you, she was a cloud of witnesses. I can keep on Miss Maul. I can just keep on, and y'all know myself and some people that y'all don't even know. Maybe in y'all's church before you ever got to this church, some other church. But you see now, they're gone on. They're gone on now. And it's your race. It's your race. This generation, I really do believe, has dropped the ball. Amen. I really do believe we have. Dropped the ball. There's nobody to cheer them on. There's nobody to cheer them on. Oh, they'll come when they want to. There's nobody to cheer them on. But I tell you what, whenever you go to that ball game there in Patterson, Georgia, and it's your son out there on the field and he runs a touchdown, everybody else might be cheering. But I tell you, you'll be cheering more than anybody else, will you not? Maybe it's your girl whenever she rings that winning point in that basketball, everybody else will be cheering. But it's your girl and you'll be cheering more. I'm going to tell you what, you ought to hear the cheers today. If you could listen, you ought to hear the cheers in this church. That's cheering us on. That once it's done, gone on to be with the Lord. You should hear the cheers today. The spectators in life. A coach at a university, can't remember the university. There was a player that didn't play very well, but his father died before a great game. In fact, he didn't ever get even start off in the game. But after his father died before one of the great games, he went and asked the coach. He said, "Coach," he said, "you know, I'd like to ask you a great request." He said, "I'd like to start off, be the starting of the game." He said, "Well, you never started before, and, you know," he said, "it's very unusual, but for me to start you in the beginning of the game." He said, "Please, Coach, I would really like for you to." He said, "Well, if you make one mistake now, I'll have to pull you out and put the regular people in." Well, the boy was in, and I tell you, he just played like an All-American. In fact, he was the chief reason they won the victory of that game. And the coach said, "I don't understand how you play so well this time." He said, "Well, Coach, there's something you didn't know about my father. My father come to every game. I never started. But you see, my father was blind. And he said, this is the first game he ever saw me play." Now, I know this is just illustration. Of a spiritual truth. But you see, your forefathers, your mothers and fathers, you see, they want to see you play. They want to see you in that race. Today, such a great cloud of witness. Let us run the race before our family, for our loved ones to win. And you know, I got to the first point in my sermon this morning. This looks like as far as I'm going to be able to get. Because I'm so full of what God has given me to say. That we need to lighten the load as we run this race. And there's so many things I like to tell you about lightening your load. There's not wrong and in theirself. Good things or bad things when they keep us from doing the best things. There's nothing wrong with the sports, as he's talking about, these weights that take off. There's nothing wrong with sports. There's nothing wrong with pleasures. There's nothing wrong with a lot of things that we do. But if those sports, those hunting, those fishing, those sports, or anything else, if it keeps you from coming and worship at the house of God, it is a weight you need to get rid of. If you can't go and have fun Monday through Saturday, you don't need to be going. You don't need to do it. You need to get rid of this weight. You see, life would be simple if it was a choice between good and bad. And most of us today wouldn't have no problem choosing between good and bad. But as a Christian, choice is not between good and bad. It's between good and best. It's between good and best. Do you have to do it? You see, Sunday used to be a holy day. People didn't do things on Sunday. That was a weight. And I could talk to you about that for another 4 hours. But that was a weight that they set aside. The old mules was not out plowing the fields on Sunday. You never saw that. I never saw that when I was a child. Old mules. But it wasn't many years, though, whenever the tractors come and you see, and after a while, no more Sunday. No more holy day. You know what it is today? It's just the weekend. And Sunday means no more than any other day. Now listen, God didn't make us just to worship on Sunday. He made us to worship every day in the week. But this is a day that we set aside. This is a day that we need to depend on to come and worship God. Come time to the end, looking to Jesus Christ. It means look away from everything else. Look towards Jesus Christ. The Christian life began with a look. In Isaiah 45 and 22, look unto me, be you saved, all the ends of the earth. Sin began with a look. In the garden, it says that Eve looked, she saw. And I'm going to tell you, the Christian life ends with a look. If you didn't know that. 1 John 3 and 2 said, we're going to see Him as He is. It all begins with a look. And I wish I had time to preach this sermon this morning. But evidently, it must have been my sermon and not the Lord's. As we come now with a song of invitation of how great that God is. I'm telling you what, God is great. And if you think I was talking to you this morning, I'd like to apologize to you. Because I was talking to myself. And you just overheard a little bit of what God taught me about this week. So forgive me if you think I was talking to you. I was talking to myself. But I hope the Holy Spirit was talking to you.